ive.org. On the same webpage, you will find a link to our meetings, readings, and tools. If you have not signed up, you may volunteer to take a reading or a tool via our meetings live chat. Only two our OA House sponsors share on tools. If you need technical help, you can register for a coaching session on Monday or Thursday evenings via our Sign Up Genius form. If you are unable to make this time, please send a note to mnhowlive@gmail.com. The audio portion of this meeting is being recorded. Please visit our website at mnhowlive.org to download the files. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation, and for those who wish to join us in saying the Serenity Prayer, you can unmute yourself now.
Grant me the wisdom to know the difference.
Amen.
Thank you. I assume that I am not alone this evening, but for the record, are there any other compulsive eaters at this meeting other than myself?
Doing it with your Lena.
Hi, yeah, right here.
Hey, we're here. Over here.
Yep. Thank you. Please use the meeting's chat function as a virtual We Care book and enter your first name, phone number, times available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the HOW format. We will then add you to the We Care book that is being circulated in the room. A copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Would someone please read What is HOW?
Yes, hi, this is Rena, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Rena.
Hi, Rena, welcome.
Yeah. What is HOW? HOW is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive overeating and the beginning of a spiritual life. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you. Would someone please read the only requirement?
Hey all, this is Megan in Virginia. And the only requirement.
Hi, Megan.
Hey, Megan.
Hi, Megan, welcome.
Hi, all. The only requirement. Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements in addition to the 12 steps and 12 traditions inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the HOW concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this evening by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, "We understand that the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participation at OA meetings anywhere, anytime. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he/she is a member is a member. We of Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms." I pass.
Thanks, Megan.
Thanks, Megan.
Thanks, Megan.
Would someone please read the HOW concept?
Hi, this is Liz A., grateful compulsive eater and food addict in Ormond Beach, Florida.
Thanks,
Liz.
The HOW concept. The Overeaters Anonymous HOW meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive overeater who accepts the 12 steps and 12 traditions as a program of recovery, a disciplined and structured approach. How groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us whose disease, whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of program and the 12 steps and 12 traditions as necessary for our recovery. In OA How, our daily action plan is outlined in the structured use of each of the other tools. Our meeting is dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the HOW of the program. We pray that the collective group conscience and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of unit security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that the how ideals will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program as it is written in our literature. The Tuesday evening meeting also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first 3 steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive overeating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understands him, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifested in this meeting. Amen. Thanks. I pass.
Thanks, Liz. Would someone please read reflections for the newcomer?
Hello. This is Michelle C., compulsive overeater and food addict in Minnesota.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Michelle. Welcome.
Hello to everyone. Reflections for the newcomer. Welcome to OA How. We are all so glad that you have decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the How concept is a disciplined program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time or attending meetings and making phone calls all lead to a life of you based on universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from his life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed. Let's see here. someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show a lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomers assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication. Let's see here. Lost my spot there, guys. Just a moment. Let's see here. Frothy emotional appeals seldom suffice. Doctor's opinion, big book. Roman numeral 26, paragraph 2. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed. If you are to recover, therefore, a sponsor in all self-honesty must release all sponsees to continue his own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs here at the meeting. A body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is the most powerful restorative. From the family afterwards, Big Book, page 133, paragraph 2. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from the obsession. So many have. God bless. And no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Michelle.
Someone please read an excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12.
Hi, I'm Heidi, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Heidi.
Hi, Heidi. Welcome.
The excerpt from step 2 of the 12 and 12 Overeaters Anonymous, page 9 through 11. When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we have acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off of other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We have stolen food from our friends, families, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We have also stolen money to buy food. We have eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into objects of ridicule and we have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive systems. We had our ears stapled and our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping that we could someday have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than with other diets we'd been on. The doctor gave us shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again, putting back on the weight we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting with and without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, and excessive exercise. We'd stuff food in our mouths until we were in physical pain, then we'd get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth while we starved our bodies of nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. Still, we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide, some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in a feeling that everything was all right as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that as our compulsive eating progressed, it became harder for us to get enough. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered. Yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept right on trying to find comfort in excess food long after it began to cause us misery. Thank you, and I pass.
Thanks, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
Would someone please read the 12 steps of recovery?
No, chapter 5, how it works.
I was kidding. Can someone please read from chapter 5, the book of Alcoholics Anonymous, how it works? Thanks, Pamela.
You're welcome. Hi, I'm Pamela, compulsive overeater and food addict.
Hi, Pamela.
Welcome, Pamela.
Thank you. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those too who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Pass.
Thanks, Pamela.
Thanks, Pamela.
Okay. Again, would someone please read the 12 steps of recovery?
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Tamara. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, what an order, I can't go through with it. Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. It's from the Big Book, Chapter 5, page 60. Pass.
Thanks, Tamara. Would someone please read the 12 traditions of the program?
Hi, this is Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater from Pennsylvania.
And Kelly,
welcome.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, Kelly, welcome.
Hi, these are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, OA has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kelly.
The tools of recovery. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are a program of recovery. Webster Dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program which will help us to recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used.
Oh,
wow. What?
Really?
Done.
I don't believe it.
So too with our tools of recovery. I will ask the HOW sponsors to explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Would someone be willing to be the timekeeper?
Hey, Arlinda, this is Megan in Virginia. I'm your timer.
Thanks, Megan. Participants will receive time prompts via the chat. Okay, so who would like to start with the abstinence plan of eating?
That's me.
Thank you, Carrie.
Hi, my
welcome,
name is
Carrie.
Thanks, Carrie.
Thanks.
Hi, Carrie. Welcome.
Thank you. All right, 201, plan of eating. OA HOW sponsor is supposed to read this. That's what I am. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The HOW discipline were designed for food addicted people, and we believe that a disciplined and structured approach, how abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in HOW. This means that we depend on each other for strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together and in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. food is written down, called to our sponsor, and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also do believe that negative thinking is a large part of a disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HOW program concepts use the following guidelines for food plans. We do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge foods. If some of the food on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. Unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food plan in any way. If we do need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. We weigh and measure all our portions so that there is no guesswork. Sorry about the phone, I forgot to shut it off. We do not measure by eye. We measure, use a measuring cup, spoon, and scale. Verbally describe. Okay, now I'm gonna describe this. Bear with me just a second. I'm gonna go shut that off quick. This is my scale. I use this all the time with pretty much everything. And so I'm able to measure like liquids, I'm able to measure vegetables, I'm able to measure lots of different things. And then if I start with a protein, then I could add my vegetable, then I can, you tear it out and then you just add the next level of what you're gonna make for your meal. And then I also have measuring cups. So like sometimes people measure milk, or maybe they measure like pasta sauce, something like that. And then when you measure it, what you do is you scrape it off the top. I use a knife to scrape it off the top because that's easier. And then everything inside the cup is yours. Anything that's on the outside is not. So peanut butter is one of my favorite proteins. I cannot lick the outside of the tablespoon, though I would like to. It's just not something I do in the program. But darn straight, I get my little spatula and I like get as much as I can out of there because we are addicts, right? So that's my measuring tools. And then I also have a phone. And so this is how I talk on my phone anymore. We used to go like this. We don't go like that anymore. We go like this, talking on the phone. And I call my sponsor. He calls me, then I call my sponsor, and then throughout the day I have to have three other calls. Normally I get probably like four or five calls in, like I get extra calls, which if you get your three calls, that's your recovery. If you get more than three, I call it service. So that's what our tools are. Let me read the rest of this. We weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight, and then once a week until maintenance. Unless advised but otherwise by our doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water. We do not drink alcohol. We do not use food containing sugar, except if sugar is listed fifth or beyond on the ingredient label. And above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the program. It is not the extra string bean that counts, but it's the decision to take it. And that made no sense to me, but it makes sense the longer you've been in the program. That string bean is really, it deals with integrity and honesty. And in this program, we have to be completely honest and completely filled with integrity. And it's not like our sponsors are our food police. They're just a guide for us to help us be the best selves, be our best selves. Our sponsors are who stands for us so that we can recover. So my sponsor stood for me when I was doing my food plan on Thursday night, because I live in ground zero for all the chaos that's happening right now. I live in downtown Minneapolis. And on Thursday night, I came home and I'm like, oh my gosh, I gotta get out of here. I gotta leave. And I was fortunate enough to go to my friend's house. And so with the food plan, what I recommend now is having like a to-go bag. So like this is would be my to-go bag, because I can throw this in my bag and then sometimes the combinations are going to be a little bit weird, but at least I can stay abstinent with the food in the bag. And so this weekend, I was not at home, and everybody knows how hard it is to do the program not at home, but I was able to stay abstinent. I ate a few things more than I really wanted to, and I didn't have some of my standard meals, but thank goodness I stayed abstinent. And really on Thursday night, I was talking to somebody this morning too, and they said they were having doubts about the program. And on Thursday night, when all that chaos was going down in Minneapolis because of what happened with the situation with the gentleman that passed away, I was ready to walk away. But because we have consistency and structure in the program, like after you do it for so long, it just becomes second nature. So I was able to weigh and measure and just keep going because it's like brushing my teeth now. And so fortunately I stayed abstinent, and I'm grateful that I did stay abstinent, but it's not because of anything that I can do myself. I couldn't do this program by myself because I would be in the food, especially after the emotions that I felt on Thursday night and the emotions that I am still feeling now. I would be shoving my face with food. But because I have the program, I have the ability to replace my obsessive eating with something different, and my obsessive thoughts with something different. It's changed, and I feel like a used car salesman for this program, but really it works if you just stick with it. It has really changed my life and my whole perspective on life, and now I just have the confidence to keep going. And so it's because of our abstinence kit that we're able to go on. So with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thanks, Carrie.
Will someone do sponsorship?
That's me. Hold on just a minute. Hi. My name is Pamela, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Pamela. Welcome.
Hi, Pamela. Welcome.
Welcome, Pamela.
Hi. I am a two-hour house sponsor. And I apologize for the delay. The nurse just came in with my evening meds. Sponsorship. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on three levels: physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A house sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections to the sponsors suggested for discussion. No list of reflections and meditations are end-alls and be-alls for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive not only to what the new person is saying, but also what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are resistant to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that is the problem. It is the decision to have it that results in some trouble. The HOW concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring our food, sponsors meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, service, and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addictions. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. I came in January of 2016, and it took me about a month to ask someone to be my sponsor. I felt, because I was coming from another program of many decades, that I didn't need a sponsor, that I knew the steps and I knew what I needed to do. But I did ask somebody to be my sponsor, and she was my sponsor for the first year and a half. I've gone through a few sponsors for one reason or another. And it has shown me, by writing on these tools and becoming a sponsor, I am, like it says, I rework my steps every time I take someone through the steps. I am, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm reaffirming, and I can't give away what I don't have. So when I was 3 months and I did my step up and became a sponsor. And right off the bat, I got 6 sponsors. Nothing addicted about me. And I don't have a one of them now. They all decided that it wasn't working for them for whatever reason. And I also have gone through several sponsors. I love working with other people, the newcomers, letting them be able to share themselves with me and to let them know that I am a trustworthy person. I think that's something very important for a sponsor, not to to use the tool anonymity or the tradition anonymity, that everything that is said to me stays with me, and I don't have to blab it all over the place. And that was something new for me, because I was a gossiper when I got here. And today I can honestly say people respect me, even here in the community that I'm living in, and tell me things because they know that it's not going to go anyplace. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me do service in your program.
Thanks, Pamela.
Thank you.
Welcome. My pleasure.
For the sake of time, we all have an OA sponsor. We'll all... Let me start that again. For the sake of time, we'll all how and OA sponsors, please join me in the sharing only the following. How long in OA and how? How long abstinent in OA or how? How much weight lost or gained? This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If they wish to, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. Sponsors are invited to share by starting your video and clicking the raise hand button on the participants panel, or pressing *9 on your phone, or just start your video. When it is your turn to share, you will hear your name and your audio will be unmuted. Following your share, please turn off your video, as the meeting moderator will remute your line. Move through the line.
Mary? Oh, go ahead, Pam.
Hi, I'm Pamela, compulsive overeater, food addict, 2-hour house sponsor. I came to OA over 40 years ago. I stayed for 20, left for 20. Came in January 26, 2016. I did well for a year and a half, and then I had to recommit my abstinence for June 15th, 2017. Loss or gain is between my nutritionist, my doctor, and my sponsor, my higher power. And I take calls for temp, if you need a temp, or for food changes. And my number is on the chat.
Mary?
This is Mary G. I'm a compulsive eater in St. Paul, Minnesota. I have, my abstinence date is November 1st, 2012, and I have lost and maintained 75 pounds. Thanks.
Megan?
Hey, y'all. This is Megan in Virginia. I'm a compulsive overeater and an OA House sponsor. My back-to-back abstinence date is June 8th of 2015. I've given away about 85 pounds to 90 in this program, and I think that's it. I pass.
Kelly?
Hi, this is Kelly from Pennsylvania. My back-to-back abstinence date is December 21st of 2019. I have lost 30 pounds so far, and I pass.
Heidi?
Hi, I'm Heidi, a compulsive overeater. I came directly into HOW in 2007. I lost 150 pounds and kept it off for 7 years and then left the program. My current abstinence date is July 26, 2019, and I'm down 72 pounds. Thank you.
Jane?
I'm Jane, compulsive overeater and 2-hour HOW sponsor. After a few years in OA, I came to HOW September 19th, 2019, been abstinent ever since, and I've let go of about 14 pounds, I think. Thanks.
Maureen?
Hi, this is Maureen A. in Virginia, and joined traditional OA in March of 2019 and became sugar abstinent. Then I joined OA HOW in January of 2020, became fully abstinent, and I have released 44 pounds. With that, I pass.
Tamara?
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater. I have been in the HOW program for a little bit over 3 years. By the grace of God and the miracles of this program, I've been relieved of 75 pounds from in the HOW program, and my recommitment date is December 1st of 2019. And I pass. Thank you.
Betty?
Hi, this is Betty. I'm a compulsive overeater and I live in Rochester, Minnesota. I have been a member of HOW since August 9th of 2016. And that has given me relief over 100 pounds. Thank you.
Michelle C.
There we go. Hi. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
All right, great. Michelle C., compulsive overeater, food addict, and a 2-hour OA House sponsor. I was first introduced to OA HOW in 7.5 years ago in September of 2012. And it actually took me 7.5 years. To surrender my will, my ego, and my food to my higher power. My back-to-back abstinence date is January 14th of 2020, and by the grace and the power of my higher power, I am down 36 pounds for my top weight. And with that, I pass.
Ruth?
Hi, this is Ruth in Connecticut. I'm an OA House sponsor. My back-to-back date is December 11th of 2008, and I'm maintaining a 45-pound weight loss. Pass.
Ellie?
Hi, you said Kelly? Hi, Kelly F. from Southern California, live from my car. I'm an OA HOW 2-hour format sponsor. I came to HOW in October of 2018, and my recommitment date is February 27th. 2019, and I am maintaining a 70-pound weight loss. Thanks, Pass.
Hiya.
Hi, everybody. This is Chaya P. in Denver, Colorado. I'm a two-hour How format sponsor, also compulsive overeater, bulimic restrictor. Thank God to be recovered today. I actually have been in Overeaters Anonymous for about 34 years, and I actually was in How way back. But then when it wasn't where I lived anymore, I was in lots of other versions of OA communities and very grateful to be two-hour How abstinent since June 20th, 2019. And grateful to be here. Thank you. Oh, maintaining a very healthy weight loss. Thank you.
Jackie?
Hi, everyone. My name is Jackie. I'm a sugar addict. I came into my first meeting spring of 2015. Didn't come back until spring of 2016. May 30th of 2016 is my abstinence date. I am down 115 pounds from my top weight. 88 of that has been in health.
Christina?
Hey everyone, it's Christina. I'm a compulsive overeater and I'm a two-hour OA House sponsor. Grateful to be here. I'm maintaining about a 50-pound weight loss and my abstinence date is due 2017. Thanks.
Howard, do you want to go?
Hi, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater. I'm a sponsor on the late shift. I've been abstaining a little over 34 years. I have 18 years and 11 months of abstinence in OA How. I've gained 10 pounds and a little bit of sanity.
Hi, my name is Carrie, and I came into the rooms of OA How on September of 2019. I've lost about 33 pounds, and I live in Minnesota. Erlinda?
Hi, everyone. It's Erlinda. I am from Chicago. My back-to-back abstinence date is February 11, 2019. And I've been relieved of 63 pounds by the grace of God. And that's it for me. And the phone that needs to go?
It's star six, Erlinda, if somebody wants to...
So if you're on the phone and you would like to speak up, it's star six. Okay. Clay feet. We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal or mark her or him out as a perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in this fashion. And if the person is wise, he or she will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we have been in OA or how, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. Can someone do an anonymity?
Hi, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater. I have anonymity.
Thanks, Howard. Welcome.
Hi, Howard.
Hi, Howard. Welcome.
Thank you. Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication means that we never allow our faces or last names to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to other service officers of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. If their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may in effect help kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is a part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time, honestly, who we are, where we have been and where we hope to go, without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing where we are not told that not told what we did wrong. We came to OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told your secrets are safe. Come share our recovery on a threefold level, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers. Please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. Whom you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here.
Here, here.
So anonymity is a real foundation, a real tradition. It just allowed me to come to the meeting and just observe and talk honestly about what was going on, because in the real world, I was not who I was. I was kind of just a facade, just a caricature of who I really was. And I finally came to OA, and it felt, in a way, it felt like home, because I was a compulsive overeater, something that I really never could tell with anyone. And when I went to the first recovery group, where there's a lot of recovery, I was embarrassed initially of the honesty. I just was not used to hearing that. But it was a great model. And I really heard people working the steps. What were they were doing specifically, you know, with their third step, with their fourth step? How were they making amends? What did they consider a resentment? What it meant, you know, how they determined what was their part. I mean, I really needed to hear this honesty in the rooms and with people on the phone and my sponsor to understand how the tools and how the program really worked on a day-to-day basis. It was really a powerful kind of experience for me, and it changed me. You know, it just kind of changed that, you know, I kind of learned that I am who I am. I kind of have to accept myself for today, and then use the program and the tools and the, you know, the process of inventory so that I can kind of move ahead and transform myself into something completely different, because that's really the only way that that I could recover. Anonymity was great, and who I was great, but it gave me a reference so that I could change from. I could become a compulsive overeater in recovery. I can be a critical, kind of insensitive, impatient person and change and become something different so that I could live an abstinent life and live in the world a day at a time with other people. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Howard.
Thanks, Howard.
Okay, will someone do telephone calls?
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Tamara. Welcome.
Hi, Tamara.
Thank you. Telephone. Compulsive overeating is the disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard to handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors, and as part of the surrender process is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend that same help to others. In HOW, we're asked to make at least 4 phone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. I was quite naive when I came into program, and I thought I was going to change those people around me, and I thought I was going to just conquer all of these things that I thought I should have at this point in my life. But I had some really rocky road this last 3 weeks,
And if it wasn't for the telephone, I would have very easily isolated and went within myself, which was, of course, my old pattern of just not dealing with things. But I realized that because it was a requirement, I was willing to do it. I wouldn't do it unless I had to. But there's so many times when I feel so much better after a call. There's wonderful people in this program that listen so well. I'm trying to model myself after them and listen, be a good listener, and understand and empathy and just being able to listen. There's a nice quote that I like in Daily Reflections, one of our readers. It talks about us all being on the same road. It says, it is with others that with the grace of God and the fellowship of, in our case, OA, I trudge the road of happy destiny. May I always remember that the power within me is far greater than any fear before me. May I always have patience, for I am on the right road. And I'm so glad that everyone is on the same road as me and is able to lend support and understanding during tough times. So thank you very much. I pass.
Thanks, Tamara.
Thanks, Tamara.
Thanks, Tamara.
Will someone please do meetings?
Hi, this is Betty. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Betty.
Hi, Betty.
Hey, Betty. Welcome.
Hi, Betty. Welcome.
I was waiting for that greeting. Thank you. I'm reading to you tonight on tools, or I'm sorry, the tool five, meetings. Meetings are gatherings of two or more compulsive eatings who come together to share their experience before and after and share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through the program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to a meeting. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is based on them all. As house members, we attend at least one HOW meeting a week. Well, this has become a bit of a challenge in the present, because there are a lot of churches where most of us have our meetings that are closed. It's really up telephoning, which I'm grateful for, and texting. But it makes me really feel uncomfortable knowing that meetings are disappearing. For instance, the meeting that I usually attend in Rochester it may not come back. Many of our members are older people, and the thought of coming back to a meeting scares them, of reorganizing the meeting scares other people who have had leadership in the past. And I am just so grateful that I have this meeting with you here tonight. It has been just such a strong hold of my ability to deal with my disease. And I don't know what I'd do without this meeting, so I am wanting to keep it going. For me, a meeting gives me fellowship. It's a way of showing humility. It's exposing myself and presenting myself as a person with a disease, with an addiction. Yet, there are other people who are there who have this disease and addiction, and we find a home together in the meeting. It gives me an opportunity to encourage others and to receive encouragement myself from them. Learn how to how they deal with their challenges, and to share how I deal with mine. And within that, there's a lot of learning and hope. It also reflects no judgment, which is a part of the program itself. No judgment, just as is in the big book and in our prayers to our higher power. I I have had plenty of self-judgment in my life and don't even think about the judgment of others anymore. But I appreciate having this meeting to cling to, and it means the world to me, and I'll pass.
Thanks, Betty.
Thanks, Betty.
Will someone do literature and writing?
Hi, yes, this is Ruth in Connecticut.
Hi, Ruth.
Hi, Ruth. Hi, welcome. Ruth.
Welcome.
Tools 6 and 7, literature and writing. Literature, we study the textbook Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book, to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, For Today for Daily Meditation, and Lifeline, our Journal of Recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we have found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives insight into our problem, as well as the strength to deal with it and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Writing. In addition to writing our inventories and the list of people we have harmed, most of us have found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further, putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is often not revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary action. Okay, so when I first came to OA in the early 80s, I got a lot of the literature, and I thought I could work the program just by reading the books. And I tried that for a while, and that didn't work. And I didn't really read them too much. I just owned them. It's like I thought, oh, I have these books now, I'm gonna be okay. But it really wasn't until I started doing it on a daily basis with Howe, that I made it through all the books. Like, I've read all the books now all the 12 step program books that I've had. I've read them all, and I made it through them because of day at a time of doing the reading and writing. The other thing I was thinking about with journaling, I used to write in journals, but don't know that I saved them, but when I looked back at my journals before I came into program, they were just really the same thing for years at a time of kind of complaining and a negative thinking and not really recovery. And so it wasn't until I think the act of doing the reading and writing and then sharing it with a sponsor, it really adds another dimension to it. And plus then when I get to read back what I've written, I hear it again in a different way than when I was just writing it to begin with. Also, I was thinking about how the literature is very portable. I have a big book under my seat in my car. I have some little meditation books at my kitchen table. I do my 10th step, my gratitudes, and my plan my food at night. So that's my writing at night. And then in the morning is when I do my reading and writing for my sponsor. And at the beginning, don't get discouraged. At the beginning, those first 70 questions, I know it takes a lot of time to do all those readings. But now, you know, I have a pretty structured schedule, and it's easy. I have the time to do it. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Ruth.
Thanks, Ruth.
Thanks, Ruth.
All right, will someone do service?
Oh, what happened there? Hang on, guys. I'm trying to get myself back on here. There we go.
Okay. Unmute. Okay. Okay. Hopefully you guys can see me now. Okay, great. Sorry. All technical issues here. Okay. This is Chaya, compulsive overeater, bulimic restrictor. Recovered. Thank you.
Hi,
everybody.
Welcome.
I'm sorry for Frozen 2 in the background. I'm watching my pseudo grandkids. Okay. Service. Carrying the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers is the basic purpose of our fellowship and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs, making coffee, not really, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done, showing up really, in a group or for OA as a whole are ways in which we give back what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. Quote, a life full of sane and happy usefulness, unquote, is what we are promised as a result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise, always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion. For this I am responsible. I'm going to walk outside so that we don't have to listen to Frozen in the background. So grateful to be here. And I'm so grateful for all the service that all of you are providing. And I feel like I match Erlinda, so we're like the pink girls tonight. And so grateful for the service. You know, OA How really is fundamentally about service. There, first of all, takes so much service to have this meeting. Just all the people that read and the ASL and the people moderating and making sure that nobody comes and disturbs the meeting and muting and unmuting and all of that. For anyone who's new, just showing up at a meeting, you're doing service. And because you're doing service for all of us that are here, if no one's here, there's nobody to help any of us. And we're all, it's a fellowship, you know, we help each other. I know for me, I'm so grateful for the service that people provide. I love the Telegram app and the WhatsApp informal chat that's still going on. And that, you know, if I say I need a call, people will be there. Sponsorship is a form of service. And let me tell you, you think being a sponsor is a form of service. Having a sponsor, what a service that my sponsor does for me by being there for me and all of you do when my sponsor isn't available and I'm able to call someone else. A food change, anything is taking us through the steps, working through an issue, just listening. And I have to say that listening is probably one of the most important forms of service. I really believe that we all ultimately find our own answers when it's quiet enough inside. And often that quiet can come, you know, sometimes I can attain it during prayer meditation, but I have a really chatty brain. So when I'm on the phone with someone and they just listen, it allows me to just kind of find my truth. So not my truth, but find the truth, which is it's never a good idea to pick up food. Ever, or to restrict food. It's never a good idea to deviate from my plan in any way, shape, or form, and without consulting with another sponsor. So I'm really grateful to be here, and thank you so much. Chaya in Denver, Colorado.
Thank you. Will all people doing service for OA at any level please stand and applaud service?
Yay! Yay, service! Yay! All right, service.
The Minnesota OA How Live meeting is a friendly place, and we want to get to know each other. If you are attending for the first time, please turn on your video and unmute your line or press star 6 on your telephone keypad and introduce yourself by first name only and where you are from. If you would like to receive phone calls, please give us your phone number, time zone, and best times to call. Do we have anybody joining us today?
Hi, everybody. My name is Gina.
Hi, Gina. Welcome.
I'm kind of new. This is my second week in a row. I joined last week and I'm back again. I'm still learning. I did buy a couple of books that are being shipped to me. And I'm just learning the language and how everything works. I'm super excited. A lot of you have gotten to a place that is so hopeful and inspiring for me. And, you know, I think when you find OA and where I'm at, you are in such need of help. And hearing the many of you that have been on this program for so long, it seems like the right place for me, and I'm really excited to be here. So thank you. And thank you for all the welcome notes. I appreciate it. It's very welcoming. Thank
welcome,
you.
Welcome, Gina.
I'd like to leave your notes. Hi, Gina. Welcome.
Welcome, Gina. Welcome, Gina.
Chat. So yeah, welcome. Welcome. Anybody else?
Hi.
Go ahead, Jody.
Yeah. It's not my first time. Second, but my name is Jody, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jody. Welcome.
Hi, Jody. Welcome.
Jody, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be back. Still learning a lot just by attending meetings. And yeah, just need to figure out the next step.
Yeah, welcome. So both Gina and Jody, you're welcome to put your phone number in if you'd like to receive phone calls in your time zone and best times to call. So thank you and welcome. Anybody else? Okay. This meeting has ASL interpretation provided by state funding. We ask all deaf participants to please utilize the chat to let us know you are here. Please include the city and state in which you reside. You can also inform us by changing your username to ASL_name_state_city. May we please have a treasurer's report?
Hi, I'm Heidi, compulsive overeater, the treasurer for this meeting. I wasn't on last week, so in the last 2 weeks, we have received $50 in donations and are less the PayPal fees. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for your service, Heidi.
Yeah. Our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, contribute to our service structure, refine the technology, develop other live OA face-to-face groups, and more. Please go to mnhowlive.org to donate. Please read one of the following. The promises, or we've got some bad news for you. Oh, okay. I guess that's a note for me. Hold on. Okay, the promises. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not.
We think not.
We think not.
They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. Are there any announcements?
Hi, it's Howard, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Howard.
Hi there. So we had the first day of the Big Book study on Saturday, and that went really well. So we covered some of the basics, 1, 2, 3, and part of 4. And now this Saturday, it will finish up. It's on Zoom, and this Saturday we'll cover 5 through 12. And so you can still sign up. It's half price now. You can go to overeaters.org and sign up, and there's a lot of really good stuff left. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Howard.
This is Megan in Virginia. I have a quick announcement. I'm the person who helps to find speakers for this meeting, especially for those folks who are joining us because you have been evicted from your face-to-face meeting. We would love to hear from you. Currently, we actually are doing super well. I am looking for speakers for the end of July and into August. I think the next opening we have is July 28th. So if you're interested in speaking, we would love to hear from you. I will repost my information in the chat so that I'm easy to find, and give me a call. I pass.
Thanks, Megan. Thanks for your service. Megan. Anybody else?
Hi, this is Kelly. I'm from Pennsylvania. I wanted to announce that there is a sponsorship workshop on Saturday, June 13th. It's hosted by 2-hour HAL program, and it is from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern. I can put the information in the chat, and I will also attach it to the WeCare list for anyone who has added their email address to the chat. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Kelly. Thanks for your service. Anybody else? Okay, literature and books. Newcomer and sponsor materials are located at the virtual intergroups resource page at www.oahowphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at store at bookstore.oa.org. It is now time for medallions. At HAL meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the HAL program. All other OA abstinence is given a round of applause. Anyone may request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. Are we celebrating or have any milestones for recovery for, let's say, more than 20 years? Okay, how about 10 to 20 years? How about 5 to 10 years? Okay, I think my numbers are off here. How about 3 to 5 years? Okay, 1 year? Anybody celebrating 1 year? Nine months?
Jackie has her hand up.
Oh, Jackie! Hi, Jackie!
Hi, I'm actually celebrating 4 years.
4 years! Woo!
Way to go, Jackie!
Way to go, Jackie!
Yay, Jackie! That's amazing.
Thank you.
Okay, so anybody from, I guess, 1 to 4 years? And then we'll go to 9 months. 9 months? Six months or anything in between 6 and 9 months?
My name's Tamara, and I have 6 months.
Yay!
Tamara!
Awesome,
thanks,
Tamara.
To higher power. Thank you.
Okay, how about 3 months? One month. Okay, so now is the chip of desire, which is really for anybody who would like a chip of desire. It's really not saying that like you're committing to the next 24 hours, but it's a chip for desire to be abstinent and inquiring, or just like a really boost to your current program. Anybody like a virtual chip of desire?
I would.
Yay!
Congratulations, Gina.
Awesome, Gina.
Thank you.
Hey, Gina.
Woohoo. Anybody else? Okay. Are there any step-ups? I don't believe there are any step-ups. So we're just going to skip that. Anniversaries. So birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence. At anniversaries, a candle is lit at the beginning of the meeting. We invite the person who is celebrating an anniversary to turn on their video for the anniversary reading. Are there any anniversaries? I believe there are. Oh, maybe? Oh, Jackie. Oh, okay, there you go. Hi, Jackie. I never see you pop up. Welcome. Okay, so I'm going to do the anniversary reading. So, Jackie, now comes the biggest question yet. What about the practice of these principles in all our affairs? Can we love the whole pattern of living as eagerly as we do the small segment of it that we discover when we try to help other alcoholics achieve sobriety? Can we bring the same spirit of love and tolerance into our sometimes deranged family lives that we bring to our OA group? Can we have the same kind of confidence and faith in these people who have been infected and sometimes crippled by our own illness that we have in our sponsors? Can we actually carry this AA spirit into our daily work? Can we meet our newly recognized responsibilities to the world at large? And can we bring new purpose and devotion to the religion of our choice? Can we find a new joy of living in trying to do something about all these things? Furthermore, how shall we come to terms with seeming failure or success? Can we now accept and adjust to either without despair or pride? Can we accept poverty, sickness, loneliness, and bereavement with courage and serenity? Can we steadfastly content ourselves with the humbler, yet sometimes more durable satisfactions when the brighter, more glittering achievements are denied us? The AA answer to these questions about living is yes. All of these are possible. We know this because we monetary pain and even criminality turn to good use by those who keep on trying to practice AA 12 steps. And if these are facts of life for the many alcoholics who have recovered in AA, they can become the facts of life for many more. AA 12 and 12, page 111. Yay. So congratulations. Thank you so much for your recovery. Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations, Jackie.
Congrats, Jackie. Jackie,
way to go. Good job.
Okay, so the leader now qualifies for 10 minutes. Okay, so that would be me. So let me just pull up my writing. So hold on a second. Okay.
Linda, what would you like for a time? You want me just to?
Yeah.
We're at 8:23. So 7 minutes would put you at 8:30. Do you want that? Or now we're at 8:24.
Yeah, I think seven minutes is fine.
Okay. I'll just tell you when the time's up.
We should be good for 10 if you can take it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Trying to get me to talk more, Howard, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
So then let's do, give me like just a 2 minute warning so that I know that I can wrap up.
Got it. Thanks. It'll be in the chat.
Okay, perfect. Okay. So, wow, that I'm Relinda, compulsive overeater. I'm also a restrictor. That happened. Wow. We got here so fast. I came to OA, actually it was like initially OA How 4 years ago and 4 years ago. And I was in for about just a few months. During that time, all of a sudden I actually separated from my husband from the separation, just so you know, he was a narcissist, and I separated from him. And you have to understand, I never managed my own money. Like, life was just like turning upside down. I didn't know like what was going on. It was just, life was all over the place. I just thought to myself, like, I can't do this. This is too hard. Like, OA how is too hard. Looking back now, what I realized was my connection with God just was not strong enough. Like, there is the program or the higher power, right? There is the program tools that, you know what, just looking in at it, it could be looked at as difficult. But in this crisis, as I'm separating from my husband, we were together for 11 years, married for six. It was my connection and my spirituality to God just wasn't strong enough. I just started to like freak out and like, I just was like, I can't do this. I can't do this. What I came to realize, like after that had happened, and what I was starting to open up was, like, something was wrong. Like, I have a disease. I have something that's different. I have a compulsive personality. I have addiction to sugar. You know, like, my sugar was like Coca-Cola. Like, I swear it was like a drug. And I have some Coca-Cola, and all I would do is just, like, I wanted more and more and more, right? So I used to binge eat, and I used to also restrict. And my restricting looked like doing a lemonade cleanse. And I would do that for like 30 days. So no food. And I mean, it just was like, just not well, you know, looking for the next quick diet, all these different things. So I don't want to go back to like all my history, you know, given that I only have 10 minutes, but I want to talk a little bit about when I left program and I separated from my husband and I went through kind of a long divorce. It was one of the most trying times of my life. So I had gained weight. I had severe acne all over my face. I was like struggling to like get the divorce, you know, and he kind of financially kind of wiped me out. Like, I thought I was fine. And then all of a sudden, I was not fine. And I don't know, for those of you who have been through divorce or whatnot, or something traumatic, it's like you cope as much as you can cope. And then I wasn't fine. And then all of a sudden, I was now depressed, like severely depressed. I was in bed, in the dark, like no lights, couldn't get out of bed. I had taken a leave of absence of work and I couldn't function. I also was having severe panic attacks. And to be honest, I thought panic attacks were I thought they were kind of made up. Like, I was like, okay, whatever. But they are not. They are real. And like, your body physically has this reaction. So I was having these major panic attacks and I was dealing with depression and like my life had come crumbling down, you know, the house, the BMW, the car, the marriage, the brand new duplex down condo, like the job, like everything was like amazing. I worked for a top consulting firm. Like life was great. And then all of a sudden it was not. Like, I'm not, I am in bed, stuck. And in case you don't know me, I am high energy. I talk very fast. I'm very, very positive. And during this time, I literally like did not see any light at the end of the tunnel. No matter like all the tools I had, meditations, prayer, like I just, nothing was like shifting for me. And I remember I was like, I have to do one thing. I have to win at one thing. So I started like kind of tracking my money. That it was very basic. I never managed my own money in 40 years. Like, I've never done anything. It was very basic, like just track my money. And then I was like, okay, I'm ready to take on OA How again. And I came back into program. And it was slowly but surely, I started to see some light at the end of the tunnel. And it was hard. I'm not gonna lie, it was hard. It was hard to like get up and weigh your food and like, it took something, but I did it. I did the tools of the program. And slowly but surely, I started crawling out of bed. I started like being able to get up. I started going, I went back to work. When I was at work, they put me on this performance review and they were trying to have me fail. I don't know if you've ever been on performance review, but they're like watching you like a hawk. So I'm having acne. I'm 63 pounds heavier. I'm not as clear headed. I'm just starting program again, right? Starting to get my mind again, clarity of the mind. And I little by little, day by day, sometimes meal by meal, was able to slowly start to use the tools of this program to strengthen my connection with my higher power, to restore my life to something that was workable. And I feel like no one will believe me, but little by little, I started getting off my medicine. I was literally like popping like, I think 5 or 6 pills for anxiety, like, cause I was having such panic attack, and like, I went down to zero, like over time after staying off the food and using the resources and calling people, like having people hold my hand. Sometimes I had to call my sponsor for every meal. Like, you know, like it was highs and lows throughout the program, but it was building up a muscle. I was building a muscle so that when life was throwing curveballs at me, I was able to react in a different way. Instead of going and picking up the food, I was able to make corrections. I was able to call people and just like freak out or cry or whatever I needed. It was a different muscle that I was building now. And so little by little, I started seeing the light again. I started feeling like connected to my higher power deeply. And I started feeling like, okay, there is hope. I can have hope. And going back to work, when you're on a performance review and they're watching you like a hawk and even kind of like giving you hard assignments to kind of push you out the door, like it is hard to keep a upbeat mindset. But little by little, I made it through, you guys. I literally, through this program, through the grace of God, I made it through. I lost 63 pounds. My face cleared up. My acne cleared up. I restored my energy. I was able to be vital again and happy again. And I was able to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And then when this coronavirus came and when this past weekend came, you have no idea, and I'm sure you do, but the amount of emotional drainage and overwhelm and panic and like swirls of stuff. But I had that muscle. I was able to pick up the phone and call people, and I had that network. So really, this program has changed my life, you know, and going from being on a review to managing a senior partner is huge, to getting great ratings at my work, to altering my money, to altering my eating, to my connection to God, to like every single area. Clarity comes, things change, life changes. So I just, with that, I pass. I'm just grateful to be here, especially in a time like right now that we have fellows and we can pick up the phone and actually communicate instead of eating over something. So thank you for letting me share. I appreciate you for being here and all the service that you have done. So thank you.
Thanks, Arlinda.
Okay, so now, I would like to introduce, I think it's Jackie. Jackie, I don't see your hand up, but I think it's you, right?
It is me.
Okay, good. Yay.
Yay, Jackie.
Qualifies for 20 minutes. Thank you, Jackie. Welcome.
Thank you. My name's Jackie.
Hi, Jackie.
I'm sorry to interrupt. This is Megan. How would you like your time?
I actually have a timer set, but if you would like to verbally let me know at the 2-minute mark, that would be fine.
Okay, sounds great.
All right, thank you. All right, so I'm Jackie, Jackie T. I'm a sugar addict. I recently moved to Green Bay, Wisconsin originally from Minnesota. So I have had the luxury of having the face-to-face meetings and super grateful to that. Basically, I'm just going to, the format is we tell what things were like before, what happened that got us here, and what things are like now. I'm not one that likes to share personally about myself, but this program has definitely forced me to become more comfortable with that. And I think part of the reason is because I don't know how to share other than be completely raw. So that's what I'm going to do, be completely raw with my story. I grew up as, I've got one sibling. I grew up in a small family, small town. My mother was mentally ill. She was bipolar. And my dad, he was the sole provider for the family. Very religious family. And we learned to make things appear as if they were perfect, from the outside at least. I always felt like the oddball out in my family. Food was always an issue. Addiction was always an issue. Alcoholism, pretty much any form of addiction ran in my family. So there, it's no surprise that I ended up being someone who also had a food addiction. I don't remember a lot from my earliest years. One of my very first memories is when I was about 5 years old. I was actually molested from my uncle who had molested a cousin of mine, and my mother had actually let him live in our home because she felt bad for his situation. And once that had happened, it was a big defining moment in my life and my family's life. My dad had actually stepped away from me emotionally. So he was there physically, he provided for the family still, but I lost that connection that I had with my dad. And I remember that being a very, very impactful thing for me. To me, I was deemed broken and like I wasn't good enough. And that's kind of how I felt throughout the rest of my upbringing. My brother was in high school, he was very athletic. So he ended up being the golden child of the family. And I learned to pretty much cope and deal with things on my own. It was a very lonely upbringing. I got good grades in school, and weight and food was always there. My mom was overweight. My dad, his addiction became work, and my brother was always out with his friends. So I learned to essentially, I found food. Food was my comfort. And I remember during the holidays, my mom would make these holiday tins with all these different chocolate goodies. And if they were out, my parents were gone, I would go under the tree and very meticulously and evenly pull out a treat out of each one so that they at least looked even and there would be no question that anybody had been in them. I had a very, very close friend in middle school. And I remember there was a situation where a rumor had started that that I was a lesbian. And at this point, being in such a closed off home, I lived in an emotional box. I didn't even know what a lesbian was at the time. So I had actually gone home and spoken to my mom about it. And she had called this girl's mother, even though I had requested not. And that very next day, every single girl in my class surrounded me in the hallway and said that they would never talk to me again. So there was another situation right there where I learned that it was best for me to just isolate and stay to myself. My routine after that was to go to school, try and trudge through the day. When I'd go home, I would raid the cupboard, go to my room and eat and watch TV in my room and fall asleep. So it was a very lonely existence for me as a teenager. We moved a lot when I was in high school. I went through four different high schools and yet I still managed to graduate early. And that I was very grateful for. I moved out at the age of 16. And then I later moved back home. And then when I was 18, my mother had forced me into purchasing a single wide mobile home so that I would be out of the house. At that point, I really began to struggle with different ways of manipulating food. I dove into starvation. I would go on to websites to find different ways to restrict my food. And I also began to be pretty active in bulimia as well. And with the state I was in, I was miserable. And if I had not grown up in the very religious home that I grew up in and believing that suicide would have led me to hell, I would have no doubt attempted suicide. If I was not successful in trying to lose weight, I had been practicing self-injury as well. I would cut my wrists and my ankles and do everything that I could to hide it because I didn't want anybody to find out about it. For me, it wasn't a cry for help. It was a way for me to be the creator of my own pain rather than it being subjected to me. When I got a little bit older, I was working in a customer service role. I actually began a relationship with a woman who was 15 years older than me. And with my experience of having a mother with mental health issues, nothing really dawned on me that the issues that I saw in her were actually an issue. To me, it was normalcy. I came out to my family as being gay, and I was disowned. I was told God no longer heard my prayers, uninvited to family functions, and the only one for me that was there for me was this woman that I was starting this relationship with. We stayed together for many, many years. We ended up getting married. And then more of her mental health issues began to come out. At this point in my life, it was a struggle to simply make it through the day. There wasn't a night that I didn't go to bed praying that I wouldn't wake up the next morning or that there would be some answer for me. And at the same time, I didn't think I was worth anything. I figured I was just everybody's, I really thought I was trash. I didn't think I was lovable. I didn't think I was worthy of anything. Years later, my mom had actually attempted suicide. 2 years prior to this, she had gastric bypass surgery to take care of her own weight issues, and that created complication after complication. And then when she had had enough, she had attempted suicide. I remember getting the call. I remember rushing to the hospital down in Rochester and holding her hand and pleading with God to save her life for 8 hours straight. Later, I ended up seeing the suicide note, and it was an apology to my brother that he was her golden child and that I was actually the reason she had attempted suicide. That is a very big weight to bear. And now being in this program, I know and I have grown so much as an individual to know that that was my mom's weight to bear. That was not mine to bear. So any of these tragedies, I do see them as just simply events of my past. They do not define who I am today. And I believe that because of the miracles within this program that have gotten me where I am. I'll fast forward years later. My then spouse had actually started seeing a therapist. We started seeing a therapist together because we weren't happy. And this therapist had actually, I started seeing her one-on-one myself, and she had encouraged me to check out the OA How program. I had never heard of it before. She told me a little bit about it. Just simply the fact of needing to call somebody to switch a fruit for a different fruit, I was out of the game. I thought that was ridiculous. It took a couple months for her to kind of convince me to just simply check out a meeting. And at that point, I was tired of hearing about it. So I just went to appease her. I went to the 2-hour format meeting and came back and said, there's no way I'm doing that. It's nothing but lies. Everybody's lying in the sponsor line. The happiness that's on their faces is not real. And that is definitely not for me. So I closed the door on that. Meanwhile, I've been heavily purging every single day to try and control my weight. And in doing so, I did lose a good amount of weight. But I lost more of myself because of it. About 4 months prior to me starting the program, my then spouse actually joined the program herself. And I began to see that light that I saw in those fellows that I saw in the first meeting I went to. And she really began to change. And I started to think maybe there's a solution for me too. So after about 4 months of her being in it, I decided to really give this program a chance. And that day that I went to that first meeting, it was a Sunday night meeting. I was open to what was being said. And I spent quite a bit of time speaking to fellows after the meeting, and I got a sponsor that night. So very next day was my very first day abstinent. I called my sponsor. I did my reading and writing assignment and committed my food. And that was the very first day my head was quiet. Not one single negative thought was going through my head that day. And I knew I had found my solution. The beginning of working this program was definitely a bit of a challenge to figure out. The countless dishwashing and trying to manage it with my insane work schedule, that definitely took a while to get used to. But I'd say about a month in, I finally had a routine down, and I was really grateful for what I was able to start opening up to myself about, and to see the own reality of what my life was really like. Being where I was prior to program, I can't even imagine being back there again. My life was so lost and lonely, and it really had no purpose. After a little while in program, my spouse was actually diagnosed with dissociative identity disorder, which is also called multiple personality disorder. Very, very challenging to live with someone like that. And yet I felt like I was obligated to fix all the messes and make everything as best as I could for her, because I was her spouse. Working this program taught me that I also had a right to allow myself to grow and to take the direction of my higher power for myself, and that my recovery depended on me essentially getting out of this marriage. And at this point, we were together for probably 12 years. We were together a total of 13 years. I loved the house that we had. I was working to try and get a promotion at work. So there's a lot of stuff going on at this time when I'm realizing that a lot of things needed to change in my life. And I know there's no way I could have made it through or seen the pathway through without working this program and having a sponsor and having fellows to guide me along the way and have the food put in a cup so that my head is clear and not numbing myself out anymore. That first day of me committing my food and finding a sponsor, that is a very defined moment in my life where I could finally say goodbye to the negativity in my life and start saying, I deserve to take care of myself and find out what really is meant for me in my future. Since then, I have felt like my life has been catapulted at warp speed with countless blessings and doors opened. And I have had 3 job promotions since being in this program. I've sold a house that I loved. I moved twice and relocated to a state that I'm unfamiliar with nobody that I know, but I have my fellows who are there with me. No matter what, to confide in and talk about what's going on. That way I don't need to run to the food. And it's an even bigger miracle that I don't feel the desire to run to the food. That has been abolished quite some time ago, which is an incredible miracle in itself. What I have been gifted in this program is sanity. And there's a line in one of the readings that talks about being restored to sanity. I never knew what sanity was until this program. I didn't know what it was like to take care of yourself and to be clear-headed and to wake up with joy and not go to bed praying that you won't wake up and seeing the blessings that are all around you and making a difference in other people's lives and being able to hear other people and see them and to really feel like you are seen from others as well. I don't think I ever said my weight, but I don't have pictures on here, but the highest weight I was ever at was 270 pounds. When I graduated high school, I was around 200. With this program, I have lost 115 pounds, and I am so incredibly grateful. My weight, my size, no longer matters, and I'm just so grateful for the peace and serenity. Thank you. The peace and serenity that I have received from this program it's real, and I encourage everybody who may be new or may be struggling to reach out. There is power in this program, and it is a life-altering program that even if your life is so unmanageable and you don't think you could take on something else, this will give you that foundation to live the life that you want and to live the life that God has intended or your higher power has intended for you. I never in a million years imagined being where I am at today, to be okay and just to be so incredibly blessed. And I'm just overly grateful. So thank you for everybody for being here tonight and for always being there and working this program with me. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jackie.
Okay, actually we have maybe just 1 minute for anybody want to do like a quick 1 minute pitch or share? Oh, probably not. Sorry. Okay, I want to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting today. I also thank all those who participated, especially our speaker, Jackie, who offered so much of herself today.
Jackie.
Yay, Jackie, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jackie, and happy anniversary too. May we please have the reading for Just For Today?
Hello, everyone. It's Maureen. Sorry for the delay. Just for today.
Hey, Maureen.
Hi, Maureen. For today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said, that most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I don't want to do just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour sometime, I will try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me. With that, I pass.
Thanks, Maureen.
Thanks, Maureen.
We would like to also thank our skilled interpreters for helping us to reach even more people who struggle with this disease. Thank you.
Yay.
Yay.
To those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove compulsion in time and give you contentment in all areas of life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to please community prayer. Those attending virtually, please unmute yourselves and let's pray for those who are still suffering. God, grant me the serenity.
The serenity.
The things I cannot change.
The things I cannot change.
Since I can.
The
wisdom to know the difference.
And the wisdom
will not mine. Be done. Amen.
Amen.
Keep coming. Works if you work it, so work it. You're worth it.
Woo! I'm back. It worked.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much, guys. See you.
Congratulations.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for your share.
Thank you,
Orlinda.
Thank you, Megan.
Congratulations, Tamara.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Service, everybody. Yeah. Thank you,
Howard. Jackie.
Hi.
Welcome to the newcomers, Jody.
Yeah, welcome to Jody and Gina.
Sorry, my video is stuck. I can't turn it. It won't let me turn my video on.
Oh, well, welcome, Jody.
Oh, okay, I think, here we go. Now, well, there we go. Oh, it's dark in here.
Welcome, Jody.
Welcome, All right, guys.
Thanks, everyone. Good night.
Anyone have any questions or anything? Or
recommended literature. Gina was mentioning having purchased. I was just curious. I was gonna write down the names of any recommendations.
Well, to start with the sponsor, you usually need the AA Big Book, the fourth edition.
Okay, good. Check.
And then also the AA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions.
Okay.
And you could usually find that on the OA website, which I don't know offhand.
It's oa.org. Yes, that's the easiest place to get it. Or AA obviously would also sell it to you, I'm sure. But those are the two books you need for the almost all of the first 70 questions that we talk about.
You
already have that. You're set then.
Yeah.
And you can also get the 12 and 12 and the Big Book also. You can read them online too. So like you can get started before you even get it in the mail because it is completely available online.
And of course there's the OA 12 and 12.
The purple, was it the second edition, I think?
They now have a third edition which came out in the 2014.
Okay, I don't know.
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have an old one. It's brown.
The purple is the newest.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's the equivalent of the Big Book, which is the OA Brown Book.
Oh,
isn't that with the stories?
Mm-hmm. It says Overeaters Anonymous, and but those two are optional.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Welcome, Jody.
Welcome. We're glad you're here.
Yeah, and Jody, did you put your name in the list for We Care List to get in the chat to get the We Care List so that
I put it in the chat tonight and I'd given it before to Carrie and because I ended up receiving some emails like especially like with respect to the Zoom codes for tonight's meeting so. I think I'm on the list. I just, I don't know if I have access to a phone list for me to call out to other fellows.
Well,
yeah,
get a hold of one though. Go ahead, Howard.
Yeah, if you put your email in the chat, then you'll get a listing of everyone that was on the meeting tonight and their phone numbers.
Super, I had done that as well. Wow, great.
Yeah. You can also go to our website, which is mnhowlive.org, and there's interesting things there.
And then there's on the big, the OA phone meetings, OA How phone meetings. I'm sorry, it's late here. I'm getting tired. OAHowPhoneMeetings.com. There's a tab that says We Care List. And if you click on that, you'll get the really big We Care List. Don't get overwhelmed. It's like 17 or 18 pages. It's a lot of people. But that would give you tons of people to call. So you'll get that by email. You put in your information and they'll email you a copy.
So, I'm very new to where I live right now. That's Windsor, Ontario. I'm right on the border of Detroit, Michigan. Not that we're allowed to cross the border at the moment, but when there were face-to-face meetings, or should there be at some point soon, that same website, just the OA How website, would tell me where I could find face-to-face meetings. I'm just curious where the closest
OA.org, the big OA site, that's OA International, OA.org. And if you put in a zip code, I don't know what Canada has postal codes the same as we do, I'm assuming. But if you put in a zip code or your city, that will pull up any live meetings that are in your area. And I'm assuming at some point we'll be allowed out of our houses again somewhere, someday.
Okay. Well, thanks.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah, I've been to Windsor.
Really?
Yeah. I was in Detroit, so we went to Windsor and had dinner. So, yeah.
May I ask how long ago?
It's probably about 20 years ago.
Oh, it's changed a lot.
I hear it has changed. I hear it has changed. Yeah.
Well, nice to meet you. I hope you were treated with much hospitality.
I thought it was a beautiful city.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I thought it was a really beautiful city. Yeah.
I'm going to sign off, guys. Good night, everybody.
Okay.
Thanks, Howard.
Thanks, everyone.
I know, Howard, you're just getting started. I'm going to
bed. I'm warming up. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Yes, I hear it's kind of deteriorated a little bit from when I was there, as far as just kind of abundance, you know, I don't know, blight or something like that. That's what I heard. I haven't been there since since the 90s, you know.
Yeah, a couple different factors. I mean, well, the first one was being a border town, and 9/11 really changed things a lot. It turned our highways that led to the border crossings. There's two of them. They turned our highways into parking lots or into long lineups waiting to, you know, go through, like toll. And so with that, they knew that they had to create another bridge and whatever. But that's been a 15-year process now, and we're still not quite done. But meanwhile, all that aside and over and above and atop that, right around the 2005, 2007, especially closer to 2007, when everything happened in the States with the banks and the interest rates of the homes and the market all at once. Similarly, the big three automakers in the Detroit and Windsor area shut down half of their facilities in about a 1-year span of time. And so for the many that worked for them, but then the ripple effect, everybody who had jobs consequently, thanks to them, sub-suppliers, or even like down to your dental hygienist, who, you know, now these Ford workers have such excellent benefits that they're going to the dentist, you know, 4 times a year instead of just when it hurts.
Right.
Everybody took a mass exodus out. And with that, that's when it really changed a lot. But I see some growth. I see some resurgence. I see promise and hope.
Yeah, I mean, Detroit is kind of building itself up too. And so and hopefully will have a residual effect on the area too. So, I mean, they almost went, you know, bankrupt, or they did go bankrupt, but now they're, you know, they're starting to do a little better. So.
Yeah. A lot of our symptoms mirror one another, being symptoms. Even if we have different circumstances at different times, it's still just being so close. Yeah.
Well, what shocked me when we first drove over is that, you know, we came from Detroit, and Detroit, you know, and back then it was supposedly good times, but I mean, it was not a nice area. You know, most of the downtown, most of the closer in city was just not very nice. And so you drove into Windsor, it was like a fantasy land at that time. I mean, it was just, you know, apple blossoms, and, you know, it's just this amazing community. And it was really kind of a culture shock, you know, from going, you know, over a bridge to one city to the next. But yeah, it's pretty
more resources, more tax funding available to, you know, keep the place looking more
crisp
and clean and trim and proper and whatnot. Right. Whereas Detroit, at that time, like in the 90s, not so much. However, right around that same time, you know, I was a lot younger and a lot more free time on my hands. And so and the dollar exchange rate was a lot better. So it's like cross-border shopping, you bet. And it's like, just watch out for the potholes. Just keep driving, you know. For what maybe was it down, like what was the negative in one area, there was something else positive about it. The many options they had, like they just so, and just so many offerings and amenities and whatnot compared to Windsor. Yet at the time, Windsor, maybe not so many offerings or amenities, but, you know, definitely more eye candy to look at. Yeah. They really put a lot of money into, like, especially like the waterfront, the waterscape, and I've only just moved back here from a different area in Canada. So it's just, you know, no matter what, it's home is home, you know, it's nice to return, even
if
things have really changed, but you know.
Yeah, it's still, those areas still feel familiar, and that's still pretty good. So, yeah. All right, Jody, well, good. Well, I'm glad you're on the meeting, and hopefully we'll see you next week.
Oh, yes, I look forward to it. Thank you so much. Thanks for sending me the emails, letting me know what the codes are to get in. It's
very awesome. Yeah, and I'm up late if you ever need, like, a late call or anything, so I'm always up pretty late, so.
Oh, good to know. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Take care.
Thanks.
Yeah, you too. See you later.
See you. Bye.
Bye.